to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. Oh, I want you to know that God loves you. Jesus died on the cross, and if you had been the only one, just think of it. He would have died for you. That excruciating death, he would have died for you. God's love is reflected in those whose thoughtfulness brings joy to others. Strong minds, and this is from Socrates, not from me. Strong minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. Weak minds discuss people. Isn't that interesting? Because we know that people discuss people all the time on social media, all the time. It's about somebody else or people or actors or actresses, whatever it is, it's people. Can you imagine in around that room in 1776 and into the war years with England? I got to get my mind together here. All of the discussion and all the ideas that were echoing throughout that room, all these brilliant men. I believe that more brilliant men were in that room at that very precise moment in time in history than any other time to bring forth the greatest declaration of independence, that all men were created equal, and to bring about a constitution that has never been written before. It's brilliant. It is absolutely brilliant. So I agree with Socrates. Strong minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. You talk to people and they're always looking forward to the next event. And then weak minds discuss people. Because this is a wonderful week of independence and everybody is celebrating it throughout the United States, I thought I'd like to say this prayer to Almighty God, to bring communion and also cooperation between peoples. Oh, that the fighting would not go on and on and on, that we would begin to love one another. Almighty God, in all history, there has been only one nation like America, founded by pilgrims seeking freedom to worship, established on a vast continent between two oceans, dedicated to the proposition that we are created equal and endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, one nation under God. You have delivered us in war, prospered us in peace, and raised up generations willing to offer the last full measure of their devotion for the preservation of liberty at home and abroad. And we're seeing that right now. We're seeing that we have forces all throughout the world that are wanting to bring peace to different countries that are in uprisings and wars. We have been a light for the world. From our shores has gone the greatest missionary force in history. But now, Lord, America has fallen into darkness, disobedience, and indifference. I must say from this prayer that there is rising up, as I said yesterday, a remnant of people. We have sinned, and we, your people, Lord, humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways. Please forgive our sin and heal our land. Give us leaders who understand the times and know what we should do, just as they did those days in 1776. Oh, Father God, thank you for the brilliant, gifted minds. May the torch of liberty burn brightly, inflamed by the goodness of your people. Oh, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name, amen. Oh, so beautiful, this prayer. And may we pray it all the time. Our memory verse for this week is Romans 15:13. I probably should have Amos 5:24. May justice roll down like water and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. That would be a good one. But no, this is great. Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound, be overflowing in hope by the power of Holy Spirit who is in you. There's nothing better than a person to come alongside you, you know, when you're kind of down and you've had some bad news, or, you know, you ruined a meal, or you can't pay your bill that you need to pay. And they come and they say, God, isn't God good? God is so good. Yes, he is. In the Passion, Romans 15, 13 says, and now may God, the fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him. And may the power of Holy Spirit continually surround your life with his superabundance until you radiate with hope. When I say that word radiate, I think of those old radiators. Yeah, radiators that were in homes. And if you get right in front of them, it's really nice and warm. But if you get it way into a distant corner, it's not so good. So we don't have those radiators, but we do have the radiating hope of Holy Spirit who is in us. Yesterday, I was talking about Israel being restored. And in Romans 11, it says they were jealous. They are continuing to be jealous when they see the Christians hoping and trusting in our Lord Jesus. It's going to bring salvation. Holy Spirit is out there working. He is at work in them, both to work and to will for God's good pleasure in them. And I'm praying that that will happen. And Paul is saying here in Romans 11, verse 13, I speak to you who are not Jewish, since I am an apostle to reach the non-Jewish people. And this was Rome, and he was writing for the Roman people. And I draw attention to this ministry as much as I can when I am among the Jews, hoping to make them jealous of what is given to those who are not Jews, winning some of my people to salvation. What did Paul want? He wanted his people to come to know the Lord Jesus, just as he had, maybe as not as traumatic as he had when he fell off his horse, but he wants them to come to know the Lord Jesus. For if their temporary rejection released the reconciling power of grace into the world, what will happen when Israel is reinstated and reconciled to God? It will unleash resurrection power throughout the whole earth. See, God's resurrection power is about to be unleashed throughout the whole earth, and keep that promise that all the earth will contain the glory of the knowledge of God. It's going to be so exciting. I can hardly contain myself. And here in Romans 11, verse 16, there is a warning. Since Abraham and the patriarchs are consecrated and set apart for God, so also will their descendants be set apart. If the roots of a tree are holy and set apart for God, so too will be the branches. And we know that Jesus is the vine. And when we're attached to Jesus, and this is from John 15, we are going to be part of that blessed vine, that branch that brings forth such wonderful hope and reassurance. Verse 17 of Romans 11 says, however, some of the branches have been pruned away. And you, who were once nothing more than a wild olive branch, that's us, God has grafted in, inserting you among the remaining branches as a joint partner to share in the wonderful richness of the cultivated olive stem. So don't be so arrogant as to believe that you are superior to the natural branches. Don't look down on the Jewish people. Don't you dare look down at the Jewish people and say to yourself, well, I know more than they do. Mm-mm, nope. We've got to humble ourselves and be ever mindful that they're the ones that brought us salvation. There's no reason to boast, for the new branches don't support the root, but you owe your life to the root that supports you. And that root is Israel. And I'm reading from Romans 11, verse 18. That you might begin to think that some branches were pruned or broken off just to make room for you. Yes, that's true. They were removed because of their unbelief. And remember, we read that in Hebrews 4. Because of their unbelief, they did not enter into the promised land. But remember this. You are only attached by your faith in Jesus Christ. So don't be presumptuous, but stand in awe and reverence. Fix your gaze on the simultaneous kindness and strict justice of God. How severely he treated those who fell into unbelief. Yet how tender and kind is his relationship with you. So keep on trusting in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. God is more than ready to graft back in the natural branches when they turn from clinging to their unbelief to embracing faith. Oh, that is so beautiful. Goes on in the mystery of Israel's restoration. And in just a few minutes here, I'm going to read from the Book of Mysteries by Jonathan Cahn, page 252. It's a very interesting story about the enemy of Israel, who is also right now our enemy. When you begin to think about what's going on in this country and these progressives that are trying to change the mind, and some of them have just recently said, we're going to have a new constitution. How dare they? Oh my goodness. They can't even begin to imagine about the gifting and the riches and the knowledge that these men had to write the Declaration and the Constitution. So let's go on to Romans 11, verse 25. My beloved brothers and sisters, I want to share with you a mystery concerning Israel's future. For understanding this mystery will keep you from thinking you already know everything. A partial and temporary hardening to the gospel has come over Israel, which will last until the full number of non-Jews has come into God's family. Did you hear that? A partial and temporary hardening to the gospel has come over Israel, which will last until the full number of non-Jews has come into God's family. And then God will bring all of Israel to salvation. And it says here in Romans 11, verse 26, all Israel will be saved. And many Jews are opposed to the gospel. But their opposition has opened the door of the gospel to you who are not Jewish. Yet they are still greatly loved by God because their ancestors were divinely chosen to be his. And when God chooses someone and graciously imparts gifts to him, they are never rescinded. They are never taken away. And that's why when I think back of Darren, and after a divorce that happened in his family between he and his wife, and he lost the ministry, Darren's coffee shop, then he thought that he should go into secular business because his ministry was now without the anointing. That was from the enemy. That was from the devil. And so for 5 years, and I was married to him by that time, and for the first 5 years of our marriage, he was trying to find secular work. It didn't work. I want to tell you right now, when you're outside of God's will, it does not work. And I remember one time he came out of this business and he said, God, I haven't made any sales. God, are you in this with me? And he says, no, I never have been. Oh, and Darren came home and he said, Barbara, I believe God is telling me to go back into radio. And so I was all for that because I had listened to him on radio. And although I thought, he was a little bit arrogant because I didn't understand the anointing. Boy, we cannot put down a person because they are anointed. Now we got into radio and we went and talked to Mike Treem, and that's when we got on KLTT. What a blessing. What an absolute blessing it was. Oh, praise the Lord. So we can say that, oh God, get rid of this unbelief in my heart. Fear, doubt, and unbelief, get away. And Holy Spirit is at work, unlocking our hearts and showing his tender mercies to all who come to him. Verse 33 of Romans 11, I love. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Yes, hallelujah. Who could ever wrap their minds around the depths of his wisdom and the marvel of his perfect knowledge? Who could ever explain the wonder of his decisions or search out the mysterious way he carries out his plans? Oh, praise God. Who has ever first given something to God that obligates God to owe him something in return? We come with filthy rags. Oh, God is so good. Oh, Lord, you are so good. I'm lifting up my hands right now and proclaiming that you are Lord. Lord Jesus, you are Lord to the glory of God the Father. And one of these days, Romans 2, verse 10 will come true. I mean, Philippians 2, verse 10 will come true, that every knee shall bow. Every knee. Praise God. I want to go right now to the Book of Mysteries by Jonathan Cahn. I found this so interesting. It's from a while back that I was on the air and I read this story, and it's a warning. It's a warning, and yet it's also a comfort to us. And here's teacher. You know that if you've read the Book of Mysteries, there's a teacher and there's a student. Just like God is the teacher, we are the students. And he says, we watched a shepherd tend his flock at sunset. Eventually, he led them on and out of our sight. It was then that I noticed an animal following in their path. It's a wolf, said the teacher. It's trailing the flock, looking for a chance to attack. The scriptures speak of wolves. Messiah spoke of them. They symbolized evil, and particularly those who seek to destroy God's people, his people. And friend, we've got to look out for the wolves. We do. People that bring a heresy into even the churches and turn people away from the true ministry. I know that Paul was talking to Peter at one point in Galatians 3, and he says, who has bewitched you? You knew of the truth, and you have turned away from it. It's really interesting. So the teacher goes on to say, ultimately, they symbolize the one who seeks the destruction of all of God's people. He's the enemy, the devourer, the devil, the ultimate wolf, the predator of God's flock. The Jewish people are spoken of in Scripture as a flock that would wander the earth and be attacked by their predators. And, oh, they certainly were. Oh, God, just really, so many, many were killed. I really believe that they went to be with God through all the torture and all the abuse and all of the killings that went on during the Holocaust. God is a kind God, folks. He is a gentle God. He doesn't want us to sin. And when we sin, like I've said before, that you can choose your sin, but you can't choose your consequence. And so these people were idolaters. They disobeyed God. They would not bend to what God was doing for them, would not submit. Remember to be humble before God. So here teacher is saying the ultimate wolf is a predator. And he comes to seek and to kill and destroy. It came true, I said. That's the history of the Jewish people. So who, asked the teacher, of all their enemies, of all the predators, were the most evil? It would have to be the Nazis. Hitler, I replied. And what did they do to the Jewish people? They hunted them down, herded them together, and led them as sheep to the slaughter. They were driven by evil, by the spirit of the wolf, by the enemy. And do you know what he named his military headquarters? Oh, this is so good. Thank you, Jonathan Cahn. Do you know what he named his military headquarters? No. Wolfschanz. It means wolf's lair. And another he called Wolfschlucht, the wolf's gorge. And another he named Werewolf. And the mystery goes even deeper. Do you know what his closest friends called him? Wolf. Do you know the name he was given from birth? Adolf. Yes, but do you know what Adolf means? The wolf. The greatest enemy of the Jewish people, the greatest enemy of the Jewish people, God's flock, was named the wolf. That's how real this is, and how real is the Messiah. How real is the Messiah? How? If there's a flock and a wolf, there must be a shepherd. I love this. Oh, if there's a flock and a wolf, there must be a shepherd. And if the flock is without its shepherd, then it must be a shepherd from whom the flock was separated. Messiah said, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. For 2,000 years they've been without their shepherd, and the wolf has devoured them, and we too are as sheep. All the more we must walk as those as close as possible to the shepherd, and as far as possible from the wolf. today, stay as far away from temptation as you can, and as close as you can to the Lord, far from the wolf and near to the shepherd. And I hope that you have memorized Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures with no fear of a wolf or any intruder. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Remember, it's not your own righteousness. It's not my own righteousness. No, sir, it's Jesus' righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's just a shadow, not the real thing. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Even those wolves out there, friend, they cannot bother you when you submit to God and resist the devil. He will flee. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So many times I say to God as I'm in my vehicle or in the grocery store, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I hope you have that memorized so that when you're in the car, when you're just about to fall asleep, you can say that and just, oh, fall into a wonderful sleep, a sweet sleep that God promises for you. In Hebrews 10, 22 through 25, it says, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him, for our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope. Remember, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, Romans 15:13. Without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And so we want to tell you how Almighty God is for you. He is not against you. Here's John.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation to take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God,
emotional. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. Oh, Hebrews 10 tells us, so friends, we can now without hesitation walk right up to God into the holy place. And this is in the Message translation. We can walk right up to him, our Abba Father. Jesus has cleared the way by the blood of his sacrifice, being our priest before God. The curtain into God's presence. The curtain is Jesus' body. The curtain into God's presence is his body. So let's do it. Full of belief, confident that we're presentable inside and out because of the righteousness of God that is in us. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. It's not our own righteousness, my friend. It's God through Jesus Christ. Let us keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. God always keeps his word. He always keeps his promises. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshiping together. Oh, may we know that we are one in the body of Jesus Christ, many members, but one body with Jesus as the head. May we not gossip and talk and fight and strive and, oh, be full of strife and division, but begin to love as Jesus loved and on the cross said, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. And so I pray that for you today, that as you go out and do things, or maybe you lay your head down on your pillow tonight, that you will remember it's because of Jesus. It's because of Jesus that you are saved, sanctified, righteous, and going to heaven on a wonderful chariot of blessing. God bless you and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.